Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
644, 16 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. You don't have to look very far over the horizon to see summer coming. Highs 82 today. It felt like it yesterday in the sun. Highs of 84 Thursday. Friday, knocking on the door at 90. And then Saturday, 82 for a high in advance of a cold front. High Sunday, only of 70, lower humidity. Get out and enjoy it, because it's going to be summertime before you know it. We're joined now by... I am so sorry. I didn't get the pronunciation on your name. Dr. Alonzo?
Yes.
How do you pronounce your first name? Ilsa?
Ilsa, yeah.
Okay. Ilsa Pam Alonzo, I apologize for that. Postdoctoral fellow in Dr. Nick Gilpin's lab at LSU Health Science Center, New Orleans. You're a neuroscientist working on the effects of alcohol use disorder in pain and sleep. And good morning. Welcome. Thanks for coming in. Well, for talking to us, at least.
Hello, good morning. Thank you very much for the invitation.
Let's talk about how important sleep is. How do you know if you're sleep deprived or not? Because none of us want to get up out of bed, right?
Sure, exactly. Like one of the best things to know if you are getting enough sleep is how do you feel when you wake up. I know that now in this modern society, none of us wake up just like without an alarm, just whenever we want. We usually wake up with an alarm. But anyway, one of the best predictors of how did you sleep is how you feel in the morning. And of course, throughout the day, how much energy you feel you have.
Is it a normal human response to just want to stay asleep and not wake up?
I think it is. It is a normal response, again, for the modern society. We are in this 24/7 society where we have we are like decreasing our time we stay asleep as humans each time evolutionary. So yeah, I think it's just our physiological response to really want to get more time to sleep.
I know you study this as a science, but sleep itself, there is something kind of mystical about that, or magical almost, the way it happens, right? Because if you're laying there and you try to think about going to sleep, that's the worst thing in the world. It's just got to kind of happen. What's going on in your brain with the synapses or whatever happens in there, doctor, to get you to fall asleep?
So you're referring to, like, you want to fall asleep and then you don't fall asleep just because you're thinking about sleeping?
Well, yeah, I'm just wondering what happens in your brain. What happens in your brain to allow you to actually fall asleep? And then from there are different types of sleep, right?
Yes, of course. And that's an excellent question that we as scientists are still not 100% sure what's going on. But we do have a good understanding. So... when we're awake, there's a lot of synapses and communication between neurons going on that are involved in, like, being aware of our surroundings, the locomotion, like being able to move. But across the day, a lot of reagents that are called somnogens accumulate. So the more we are awake, the more of these compounds are built up in our body that increase our desire to sleep. So at some point in the day, after being active for so long, we have this pressure or desire to fall asleep. And when that happens, different systems, what primarily does is they inhibit these other synapses. They're kind of like obstruct communication between neurons, to put it in a simple way. For a long time, we thought that sleep was just the inactivity of our brain, mm-hmm. but we know now that that's not completely true. So yeah, there's an important part of going falling asleep is to inhibit these neurons, but there's also and that's the magic, I guess, that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Other neurons that turn on. There's other neurons that turn on to tell our system, okay, it's time to sleep. Let's do what we need to do within this sleep. So what happened is inhibition of these act awake neurons and then activation of these sleep neurons. Usually, we have two different stages of sleep, non-REM and REM sleep. Mm-hmm. REM is a rapid eye movement, and the other is non-rapid eye movement. Usually, we go first to non-REM, and then we fall into REM sleep. Non-REM has three stages, but let's just put it in one, like non-REM, and then we go to REM. During the first part of sleep, we have more non-REM sleep. During the last part of the sleep time, we have more REM sleep. REM sleep is usually where dreaming happens, and non-REM has been associated more with where the clearance of our body happens.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up here when we come back. I'm just curious, Doctor, how much sleep did you get last night?
Not much. I have a newborn, so.
Oh, my goodness. You can do a case study on yourself. How old's a baby?
7 months.
Oh, I know you didn't get any sleep. I always tell prospective parents, you know what you do? Go out and have a comment. Go ahead and have a normal meal and then put some sleep in the bank. Is that possible? Can you put sleep in the bank?
Not really. Yeah, that advice that they give to new moms, like, go to sleep now because when the baby arrives, you won't sleep. Not really.
No. Well, it'll get better. It's not your first child, huh?
It is my first child, yeah.
Doctor, from a layman, treasure every moment. I know you're exhausted, but that kid's going to be in college in a blink of an eye. Congratulations.
Congratulations,
and thank you for getting up early. Dr. Ilsa Pam Alonzo, postdoctoral fellow. We're talking about sleep. She's at the Dr. Nick Gilpin Lab at LSU Health Science Center. She also works on the effects of alcohol use disorder on pain and sleep. We're going to talk a little bit about that when we come back, about things to take to help you sleep. I know if I have a couple of drinks, I cannot sleep. It just destroys my sleep pattern. We'll talk about that or melatonin and whatever else people take. If you have any questions, 504-260-1870, 651, 9 till 7, traffic now, WWL.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
6:56, 4 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Back to Dr. Ilsa Pam Alonzo, postdoctoral fellow in Dr. Nick Gilpin's lab at LSU Health Science Center, New Orleans. Neuroscientist working on the effects of alcohol use disorder on pain and sleep. Doctor, let me get to this text from an audience member if I can. Glad I'm going to get to catch his sleep interview. I haven't slept in 3 days. Basically, I normally use weed to put me to sleep. It puts me right to sleep, but it also blocks my nose, so I wake up through the night with a blocked nose. I haven't smoked weed in about a month now. I haven't really gotten a good night's sleep either. I haven't drank since Mardi Gras. I don't know what else to do now. That's kind of along the lines, I guess, of what you study. What are your thoughts for this person? I know you can't diagnose and advise, but just in general.
Yeah, of course. I can speak about what we know in science. What are the correlations between marijuana and sleep, and of course alcohol and sleep. So based on what this person shared, I think yeah, it's anecdotally it's been known of the effect of weed and sleep. Some of the effects that marijuana could have on sleep has been associated with specific neurotransmitters that marijuana is blocking that are disrupting sleep during the night. However, there's a bunch of other like environmental cues that we're also missing. So one of the things that could be happening after chronic consumption of marijuana related to sleep disorders is withdrawal symptoms. So if you become abstinent during this period, there's a lot of emotional and physical effects that your body is having that definitely could affect sleep. And the other thing is alcohol has been shown to affect sleep too. The higher and the heavier the consumption of alcohol, the more affected the sleep is. So I would definitely recommend this person to talk to his or her physician, probably to help navigate the abstinence period, which could help to avoid these sleep disorders.
I use melatonin occasionally at night to get to sleep. Am I masking something or is that okay?
So melatonin is a hormone that is released in our body endogenously, like normally, during the night. Because our society now, again, is 24/7, there's light everywhere. Well, yeah, there's light everywhere. So then our body is not secreting enough melatonin. And melatonin is one of the main hormones that tells our body to go to sleep. Melatonin is safe to take, although I will always recommend talk to your physician because it might have some interactions with other medications they're taking, but definitely it's a good option too.
Doctor, I appreciate your time. Thank you. I hope you come back. Good luck with the newborn. Enjoy every second of it. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Leah Long, director of the Louisiana chapter of the National Federation of Independent Businesses. New survey out says that the optimism of small businesses decline. Not very optimistic at all. Then we'll talk about early child care in Jefferson Parish. Some are saying it's broken. How do you fix it? A lot coming up. Stay with us.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.